Welcome to Design Assembly Conversations. In this series, we talk to New Zealand graphic designers, hear their stories and celebrate their work. I'm Louise, and today I'm talking to Jonathan Sager. Jonathan is the Executive Creative Director of Voice Brand Agency, a brand development agency with offices in Auckland and Melbourne. Jonathan, hi. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Louise.
Jonathan, I'd like to start with asking you where you've come from. How did you get into graphic design?
I began after school, basically. I went to Wellington Polytechnic some many years ago and did the three-year visual communication diploma in the late 80s. So it was quite a while ago. I got into design because I always loved art. I always loved design. And it was, those days it was quite unique and quite different. There wasn't many places to go. There was Whanganui or Wellington. And I was closer to Wellington, so I went there. And I was lucky enough to go through the three-year diploma course with some amazing people. It was different, really different. We learned illustration, we learned to draw, we did, you know, lots of things that you wouldn't necessarily do these days. But it was a pretty intense 3 years, and I learned some amazing things and made some great friends.
And were there any tutors that stood out to you as heavily influencing your early career or other designers at the time?
Yeah, the head of the school was a man called Bill Toomath, who was an interesting chap, and Mark Cleverly. Mm-hmm. There was lots of quite unique people in those days that taught us. Some of the illustrating tutors were quite well-known artists. It was a really interesting time, and people that were really passionate about their chosen profession. In those days, you're an illustrator, an advertising dude, or a graphic designer, and so the school was very split almost in what you're interested in. Yeah, but there were some cool people, and we looking back, you were quite privileged to be there with those people because they'd done some work over their lives that really stands out. I mean, I can remember Reg Nichols, the advertising dude, was the guy that invented Cookie Bear, and he used to talk about it incessantly, but you look back and go, Cookie Bear, but he did it and it was his thing. It's kind of cool just to remember that stuff, yeah. You know.
And where did you start working when you finished your studies?
I left in the November, and I got a job at the Ministry of Transport as a graphic designer in Wellington, and I started working on $11,000 a year, and I thought it was great. I was actually the only person that got a job out of a school for many months, but yeah, I went to work in a government department as a graphic designer.
And were you working by yourself?
Yeah, all on my own.
Wow. So straight into the deep end from the beginning.
Yeah, I had a drawing board, I had a scalpel, and a pen, I think, and that was my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long did you spend working there?
I was there for three or four years. Mm. I think in the end it disbanded. The ministry kind of split up. Mm. But I was really fortunate. There was a CEO there called Margaret Baisley, who is still around today, and she helped set me up in some ways as on my own. Mm. And gave me lots of work on a contract basis. So she was quite an amazing lady, and she was quite keen that I would have a business. So she helped get me out of the ministry by creating my own business and giving me work from the ministry. And so it was cool. But it was a long time ago now.
Yeah. So that kind of experience starting out of, you know, just being in the deep end, yeah, and having to learn on the go, that must have been quite invaluable.
Yeah, you made a lot of mistakes. You were on your own. You had friends who you knew, but they were starting out as well. But it was cool. You kind of found your way, and I guess it makes you confident. Mm. And you know, to solve problems, you learn how to keep going. But yeah, it was certainly, I never think that I was on my own. It was just that I was excited about doing it, and I wanted to do things, and I did the things I wanted to do. Mm. Yeah.
And then did you go into working for yourself?
I worked for myself, yeah. I set up as a freelancer, and I had my own business in Wellington, and it did really, really, really well. I enjoyed it. It was a great lifestyle. I had lots of work and did some cool things. Even today, I went back to Wellington recently and was driving past somewhere and thought, I think I did that logo, but I actually couldn't remember if I did or not. So it was, yeah, lots of little things that I did. Yeah. That was quite a while ago. Some of my kids were young, and Yeah, I was freelancing. It was great.
And were you working just by yourself? Yep. Did you quickly hire people?
No, I worked on my own. And then eventually I decided I wanted to go and work for a company. So I went overseas and went to London and went to Australia and worked in agencies and began to learn from other people. So that was quite important, I think, to get away from New Zealand and to see what other people were doing, because it did become quite small.
So what led you to come back and start your own design studio again then?
I came back into New Zealand in the mid-90s, and I ended up working back in Wellington with Voice, which was the original Voice, with a good friend of mine, Adrian Baytop-Carlson, who came out of Van der Rohe Design and began Voice with John Mason and a couple of others. I was lucky enough to join them at the time, and they were really pioneering the whole kind of brand strategy, internal experience, holistic differentiation around brand. So I came back and was really lucky to fall into that crowd. And I was one of the founding people at Voice at that time, which was doing some amazing work in that space. It was quite new. People weren't looking at brand in that way. There were still graphic designers, but Voice were concerned about creating difference and creating inside a brand inside and a brand outside and finding that differentiation through that. So I came back and began working on a project for KPMG, which was one of the very first values projects in New Zealand. So I was in Wellington for about 5 years with Voice doing, we did some amazing projects. We did the strategy for Tourism New Zealand. We ended up doing the Vodafone brand platform and the change from Bell South to Vodafone. So we got some exciting projects. So I was lucky to come back into that zone. Voice eventually moved to Australia because it got most of the clients were there. I went to Australia for a brief time and then had a lot of change in my life and decided to come home. So I arrived back here in 2001, which was a good time, and I began Voice again in New Zealand. And that's really where it's been, where it started from in its present iteration. Mm. Yeah.
And do you work with the Melbourne office on projects, or are they quite separate?
Yeah, the Australian projects, we've been in Australia for a long time. We have a good name there. Mm. We have presence in Sydney through Adrienne still, and we have presence in Melbourne, which is great. We've probably done about 4 projects in Melbourne this year. Good projects, interesting projects. The bulk of the work's done out of Auckland, where it's where we live and where we enjoy living. And it's always difficult to do that trans-Tasman thing, where do you live, where don't you live? I've tried it 6 times. I've worked in Australia, I've worked in New Zealand, I've worked in the UK. I like working in New Zealand. I enjoy it. Hence, we tend to focus here a little bit more, and then we all do the projects from here into Melbourne, which is fun, you know.
And so you spend some time on the ground there, working from Auckland on these companies in Australia. Do you think that you offer kind of a unique perspective?
Yeah, I think the thing about Voice and the thing about us is that people buy us and what we do. So often, you know, if you're talking to someone in Melbourne, it's a no-brainer. They don't mind where you're from because they know you can solve a problem. So the people we've worked with this year very much know that there was no issue about New Zealand. So they know we're from here. They know we can solve a problem. They choose us because they know we're good. So it's not really an issue. And these days, most of the presentations are done via Skype or in person. It takes 3 hours to get to Melbourne. It's not a problem, or to Sydney. Yeah. So the work we do in Australia is no different to the work we do here or the work we do in the UK, for instance. It's all very easy. We don't see those boundaries as a problem.
So that's a big change, obviously, in your working career, being able to work internationally from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And if you're doing good work, then you get the clients anywhere.
Yeah.
Did you do much work for international, clients kind of in the 90s?
Yeah, we did all kinds of projects. A lot for Vodafone. We did Vodafone in multiple territories around the world. We did the global brand because we got quite well known. We worked for AMP. I worked for the cooperative in London. We've done lots of I've done large scale identities in my life for big companies. Mm. They tended to be in this region more in the last 20 years, and I've enjoyed that. We've worked in China. We've worked in Hong Kong. Mm. We've done some cool projects. I guess at the end of the day, for me, it was about being at home. Mm. I like to go and work overseas, but I enjoy working at home. It's a strange thing, but I enjoy.
Mm. And so these days you have the title of Executive Creative Director.
Yeah.
So obviously you started out, you know, as a graphic designer on the tools, and do you still work in the creative and design process in a project?
Yeah. I mean, if someone's to ask me what I do, I would say I'm a graphic designer. I've done that since I left school. So I'm pretty lucky that I was able to go to work every day and pick up a pen and sketch and create ideas. And I do that today. You might say executive creative director, but that really means you're just a graphic designer. That's probably a bit older than the rest.
And do you do a lot of your kind of problem solving and idea creation on paper?
Yep.
Or?
Yeah, I still use a book. I have rows of black books that I still work in, and I always have done. I encourage the young guys to sketch. It's not always easy. A lot of the guys now will get straight on the computer and start doing one idea. I regard myself as being fortunate that I know how to work up an idea on paper. I think it's a great discipline. I do think it's missing a little bit today, but that's just me perhaps looking backwards. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but I like the fact that I draw in a book, and I think I always will. It's a good thing. It's what you do, and that's where the ideas come from. Yeah.
And do you have a personal art practice or creative practice?
No, not at all. My job is that I don't need to do anything else. I mean, I can express myself through design, and I've tried to paint. I'm not a painter, I'm a designer, and that's what I enjoy. And you know, you go back to why I got into the industry, it's because I liked good design, and I was something that appealed to me. So I made the decision that I wasn't going to be an artist, and don't want to be an artist. I love design, and I think that's what drives me.
And do you kind of keep, you know, books of kind of random design ideas that might not yet have a purpose or be for a client, or you're always in that process of coming up with the solution for your client?
I collect a lot. I think the benefit of why we're good at what we do is that we have a very wide knowledge or understanding or visual knowledge of what's going on. I'm quite eclectic in what I collect, buying books, reading magazines, watching movies. It's about that collective understanding of what's going on. The biggest thing for a person like myself around being an executive creative director, which means you're an old one, is keeping relevance. And I read incessantly. I like reading. I like culture. I like music. I like new things. So finding out what's happening in music and fashion is important. Otherwise, we end up being irrelevant. And that's when you shouldn't be here anymore.
In terms of the business side of your role, though, do you spend much time in that?
Yeah, a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your business. It's keeping it going consistently. The interesting thing about our business is that it's project-based. So projects come in and projects finish. And you always have to find the next project. And that's something you do as a business owner. It's about always making sure that you're on point, you're doing great work, so people are coming to you for the next thing you want to do.
And is that something you've learned on the job, or have you kind of, you know, gone and done any training or learning around business?
It's about studying yourself and about why you're good. And I think as you get older, you realise where you're good and where you're useful. And I'm really useful in certain areas, and people will come to us asking questions, and that conversation happens. And you sell yourself, you sell your solutions, and you sell your the way you have of solving a problem. If they like you, they'll buy you.
And how do you think the graphic design industry's changed in the time you've been working in it?
I mean, the obvious changes are obvious, obviously. Yeah. Computers, it's faster, PDFs, a lot of the process has gone, which is good and is bad. The process around checking, proofing, how the studio works, how you can be efficient. That gets a little blurred sometimes with the speed of things. We try to champion the process because it helps make our studio and our work more efficient. I think more than the industry, clients have changed. We tend to work less with marketing practitioners and more with business owners who don't understand the process, who are more fickle, or who could just make it less. In some ways it's amazing, otherwise it can be more difficult. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just how it is. We had a conversation the other day, and you really have to roll with that. You've got to understand who you're working for, and you've got to adapt to to how they work. We've got a couple of projects at the moment which are quite large rebrands for Australasian companies. It's taken us 18 months. Now, that should have probably taken considerably less. And they'll stop and start. And you have to go with that because it just is how it is. And your job is, like my job, having all these years of experience, is to figure out how to make it work in that context.
Mm-hmm. And what's a project that you're working on right now that you're excited about?
Probably can't tell you the good ones. We've got a couple of, we've got an amazing one tomorrow going to market, which is one that we're quite proud of, which we've worked on for last year. We're doing a, it's difficult to tell you what projects we are working on because obviously they're confidential clients. But we've got some great FMCG work. We're working on some really exciting large corporates that are working through really interesting conversations with their clients around, I guess, the goodness of a company, whether it be sugar, whether it be responsibility, whether it be recycling, whether it be organics. A lot of companies are coming to us now with an aspect of their brand which needs to communicate to people in a more good way. That's really interesting. We've done
and heading into 2017, you know, kind of generally in terms of what's happening in culture, you know, what do you think the kind of interesting things are going to be, or what do you think the trends are going to be?
I think if you look at what's happening in the world, it's interesting. I mean, people talk about Brexit, people talk about Trump. It's interesting what's going on there because it's about people being heard and people who maybe weren't heard being heard. I think we've got to look at that and understand it, and because that is culture. As brand practitioners, we're about connecting consumers to a product or to a service and helping them navigate how to choose that service based on sets of values or how things fit with you. I think it's really important that we look at what's going on in the world today because it is changing. And try to be open about that and try to understand that it is about people.
So when we talk about, you know, the current culture being about hearing people, do you think that design, graphic design, has a place in terms of political and social communication?
Yeah, I think it does. I don't know whether political and social communication is isolated to political and social anymore. I think the world is a lot more complicated, like I was saying. You really need to listen. It's about people and it's about consumers. And our work is, you know, when we began to be designers all those years ago, made the choice not to be an artist or an illustrator. Our decision, our choice was to communicate to people. We're communicators and we're visual communicators, which is what my diploma was in those days. We communicate to consumers and we help connect consumers to things that they can choose. That's what I've done all my life. And I think understanding the culture and what's going on, whether it's Kanye, whether it's Trump, whether it's whatever it is what it is. And we have to learn to be across that and be open enough and accepting enough to understand what consumers want. I mean, the recent elections, that was about a whole lot of people who weren't heard being heard. And that's what it is. You've got to go with that and appreciate it and be able to big enough to kind of work with that, because that is what it's about.
And lastly, what would you say to designers and creatives working out there then?
I think it's a great industry, you know. Enjoy it. My son recently graduated from media design school. He's now in the industry and he rings me up excited. It's an exciting industry still. It's a place where you can be yourself, enjoy your passions, and make a great life for yourself. It's changing, and who knows where it will go, but it's still a great industry. I think the important thing is to love what you do, to be creative, to think about your consumers, to make sure that what you're doing is helping the world be better.
Thanks for your time today, Jonathan.
You're more than welcome.